morning, everybody. If you're a visitor here today, a really warm welcome to you. I love it when Mother's Day rolls around and there's rustling and all kinds of things going on, and sometimes you open a door and there's some flowers hidden in there and all that type of thing. Or Chloe the other day came out of Fat Face with a little bag and I thought, oh, I bet that's for me. So isn't it lovely? So I want to welcome every visitor, and today is specially focused on mothers. And so we're going to have a little chat this morning about mothers. Now, if you notice earlier, we put a little bit of football in just to keep the dads, just a bit of testosterone, keep going, because you're a bit swamped by cakes and flowers this morning. So just hang on in there, boys. But no football in mine, I'm afraid. But there's another little advert I want to show you, because this advert, we're really advertising Boots this morning. And their latest advert for Mother's Day really made me laugh. So let's have a look at this.
For helping me move house.
Again.
For teaching me how to drive.
For putting up with my goth face.
For not freaking out when I come home with blue hair.
With my nose pierced.
With my first tattoo.
This Mother's Day, let's give gifts that keep on giving. Boots. Let's feel good.
Ah, are you ready for love? Now, what I like about that advert, because it's got these, cute, gorgeous little children that you cannot possibly imagine one day they'll be coming home with blue hair or their first tattoo or their nose pierced. But as we know, this, motherhood is a journey where many of these things might happen. And I love the one in there about a moving house. We have three grown-up children. They're coming up to their next birthdays, so they're 25, 23, and 20. So we've done, the journey so far, so good. And over the years, having to take them back and forwards from college, and they just fill the car with everything in their bedroom. You take it to college, bring them back. That happens for 3 years. But everything grows. They come back with more. So now our garage is full. And one day when they all move out, they can take all their junk with them as well. And then when that little boy there says about learning, or that doesn't happen, does it? They don't take their junk with them. Alan and Wanda say no. And this photo is especially here for Beth. Beth knows why. But here we have about learning to drive. And I've got to say, I think teaching the kids to drive is the most scary experience of my life. And apart from when I went up in a hot air balloon, which was a present, and I my mental health is just about intact after that experience. But apart from that, I only ever took our kids learning to drive once each. And when you are in a moving vehicle with a teenager who does not know how to drive, you take your life in your hands. And so Julian has steadier nerves than me, and he took over after the first lesson. I would say teaching to drive is the scariest thing. But the thing about motherhood, really, that phrase with the advert about give gifts that keep on giving, that really describes motherhood to me, because motherhood, as we mother our children, it is a gift that keeps on giving. It's a foundation in their lives that actually sets them up for life. And what we do in walking that journey with them, it is a gift that lasts. And so I want to encourage us this morning about how we have this role as mothers, that our input to provide and nurture and to guide and lead is a gift that keeps on giving. Now, they say, a dog isn't just for Christmas, it's for life. Well, you soon find out that with children. They don't just stay as a tiny baby, but there's a whole life's adventure ahead. And a mother's role is some of these things. It's our role to help our children grow up to be emotionally healthy and strong, to know that they are loved and wanted. That would set a child up for life, to know that their mother loves them and that they're wanted. And that just one ingredient gives security to a child all the way through their life. Also, as mums, we try and make sure that they're physically nourished, that they're well-fed, they're rested, they have play, they have exercise, and also that they're mentally prepared for life, that we spend time with early education, reading to them, providing learning experiences, and also to give them advice and guidance, that we help give them a moral compass in life with wise words and wise wisdom, that as they grow up, they know what to do because we've guided them. Now, I was looking at people who'd taken their mother's advice. And I found Usher, who is quite interesting, how he has a really great relationship with his mother. And he talked about the best advice his mother ever gave him. And he said, she said to me, "Strivers achieve what dreamers believe." So, you know, you might dream about your future, but if you work hard, you can achieve it. And of course, he has. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. And then she says, "And listen to me, I've been through it already." And so even Usher listens to his mum, wise man. And as mothers, we're here to provide for them in life that is a gift that keeps on giving. And I found this anonymous poem that somebody wrote. Somebody wrote this about what their mother did. Okay. "My mother kept a garden of the heart. She planted all the good things that gave my life its start. She turned me to the sunshine and encouraged me to dream, fostering and nurturing the seeds of self-esteem. And when the winds and rain came, she protected me enough, but not too much, because she knew I'd need to stand up strong and tough. Her constant good example always taught me right from wrong, markers for my pathway that will last a lifetime long. I am my mother's garden. I am her legacy. And I hope today she feels the love reflected back from me." Now, isn't that amazing that one of our children would ever like grow up and write that and look back and say, "My mother inputted my life in such a way that I am her legacy." And so we see that mothers are such a key and valuable role in a child's life. And so Mother's Day is celebrated in 46 countries around the world. And many years ago, mothers campaigned for this day to be put aside, for the role of mothers to be recognised and for freedom in women's lives. And so it's internationally recognised as this day to honour all mothers, thank them for the services they impart for the benefit of their child and indeed the benefit of mankind. So today, mothers, well done. Keep going. It's not an easy job, but we're all in it together. Now, every stage of a mother is important. We're going to look a little bit at the life cycle of a mother. Well, this Monday, I got to hold a little baby that was about 12 hours old. And I went down to hospital to see Hannah and Kieran and hold little Zachariah. And when those babies are new, it's such an adventure, isn't it? Little tiny toes and dressing them. And the absolute priority is to sleep and feed. Please can they feed and keep it down? And please can I have some sleep when they sleep? And those early days are so important, our love and cuddles and attention, that our little baby right from the beginning feels well cared for, that they are warm and well fed and secure and safe, and that that creates a foundation for their life. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Fern Cotton, I love Fern Cotton, and she had her first little baby a couple of weeks ago called Rex, and she tweeted this: "Watching Pretty Woman, eating green and blacks, with Rex asleep on me, multi-skilling, blessed out." And I thought, yeah, you just wait, Fern. But there she is, you know, with this little baby, just relaxing, eating chocolate, watching Pretty Woman. And isn't that lovely, those moments? But it's also hard when, you know, it's really quite exhausting when those early days of them not sleeping. And one of my friends tweeted this: "There should be a children's song. If you're happy and you know it, keep it to yourself and let your mum sleep." I love that. And I also found this poem that a girl wrote that about being a mother. It's called "Before I Was a Mum." "Before I was a mum, I slept as long as I wanted and never worried about how late I went to bed. I brushed my hair and my teeth every day. I had a tidy house, never tripped over toys or forgot what day it is. Before I was a mum, I had never been puked on, pooed on, spit on, chewed on, or peed on. I had complete control of my mind and my thoughts. I slept all night. Before I was a mum, I never held a screaming child so that doctors could give injections. I never looked into teary eyes and cried. I never got up in the middle of the night every 10 minutes to make sure all was okay. I never got gloriously happy over a simple grin. Before I was a mum, I never held a sleeping baby just because I didn't want to put it down. I never felt my heart break into a million pieces when I couldn't stop the pain. I never knew that something so small could affect my life so much. I never knew that I could love someone so much. I never knew the warmth, the joy, the love, the heartache, the wonder, or the satisfaction. Before I was a mum, I never knew I would love being a mum. That's great, isn't it? So, the life cycle of a mum. In those early years, and when they start to grow up, it's all new, isn't it? They first smile and they laugh and learn to crawl and then walk and then talk and then you've got to put everything away. They start to recognize people and places. And during this journey, they need to feel safe and secure and loved, that it's a base for exploration and adventure, not to be overprotected. Then come the school years. Some of you have just sent your kids off to school for the first time. Some have just sent them off to comp for the first time. And some of us are just seeing them pop out the other end of university. And so there's always a letting go and letting go. And in those school years, it's important that we create security and safety in the home, that home is the place that they're sent out from and that they come back to, and that it's not safer outside the home than inside. And it's our role as mothers here that it's a place where they can always come back to, they're sent out to face the world, and they can come back to, and we know that we will journey with them and help them with their schoolwork, all those issues with friends and everything that goes wrong, their first disappointments, help with schoolwork, and we're there. And that in through their teenage years, that we are their ally and their friend, that we are on their side and we are their confidant, and that we let them grow in their independence, but we're still there. And you'll find in those teenage years, your kids actually seem more independent, but want you more than ever. They might not want you with them all the time. They just want to know you're there. So even when they're upstairs listening to music and making a noise, just knowing you're around is good for them. And then, of course, they grow into adults and they become your friends, but it's time to still love and guide them in that adult phase. And so it's a vital role in the whole journey. So all you mums here today, at whatever stage of that journey you are, be encouraged that it's important and you're doing a foundational start in your child's life that will last a whole lifetime. But also it's daunting. So we're going to look at just, you know, a few things to help. How can we help invest in motherhood when it's actually quite hard? And the first one, I think, is to take wise advice. Now, when our children were born, I would be on the phone to my mum or reading books or asking people who'd gone the journey before to find out how to do it. When we brought Rachel home, who's just approaching 25 now, sat over there, but when we first brought Rachel home from the hospital, we're driving along at like 5 miles an hour because you've got this tiny little baby in the car and think someone might crash into you. And then you get home and we put you in the little Moses basket and sat there and looked at each other and went, what do we do now? You know, you're just clueless where to start. And so, you know, wise advice is helpful. And over the last week, Sarah Beeney, you know, the property developer, she's being held up as the new, you know, Nectar are doing a Savvy Family Award. And you have to send in your advice on how to save money. So families are sending things in like, don't charge your mobile in the house, save electricity and charge it in the car. Great if you have a car. And things like that. Well, she was asked about her family life because she's a property developer. And her boys are like junior age now. And she was asked, how does she manage all these things? And these are some of the advice that she gives. She's quoted to say, well, it's pretty full on. I try not to mix work and home life. When I'm with the kids, I'm with the kids. When I'm at work, I'm at work. You can't compartmentalize your life as a working mother. And that, I thought that's great advice there, to that she is focused when she's in work, she's focused on work. But when she's home with the kids, she's focused on the kids. And that's how she manages it, to make sure that the children get the attention they need when she's around. Really, it's kind of talking about priorities. And then she talks a little bit about what she calls quality time. Now, this can be like sort of the guilt part for any mother, isn't it? Do you think, well, how quality is quality and how much time is necessary? And this is what she says, quite interesting. Life is a big juggling act anyway. You need to make sure the time you spend together is quality time. Quality time doesn't need to revolve around TV or computer games. It's about talking to each other. My boys seem to enjoy fighting, breaking things, football, and mud. And I'm fine with that. I have fond memories of my mother hanging out washing when I was a child, but washing isn't a major part of my day. I want to spend that time with my children. I do the laundry when they go to bed. In fact, they don't even know laundry exists in our house. I thought that was a great tip as well, doing, you know, the housework when they're in bed, because it is just a sort of thankless task trying to tidy up while they're awake. I mean, maybe it was just my children, but, you know, people would talk to you about how a friend of mine used to clean her bathroom while the toddler played with toys. And I was like, really? Mine would be playing with the bleach. And, you know, so I think I just do it when they're in bed. And, you know, we'd all tidy up the toy box together. And I think, no, actually, let's just go and read a story in bed and I'll come down, chuck it all in the toy box later. I thought it was great how she talked about that. And she talked about values. She says, when I spend time with my boys, I try to instill values that were instilled in me about the value of money and about hard work. And so the time together isn't just about activity or racing from A to B, but it's that imparting of values day to day by spending time. What kind of values? Well, that people are precious and important and of equal value. We need to teach our children values of thankfulness and gratitude, of hard work. We'll get them to the next stage they need to be at. And character issues of honesty and kindness, generosity, faithfulness. When our children ask us about these things, when we're tempted to cut a corner, or it might be easier to lie about something, but do we actually teach them about the value of being honest will help them all through their life? So Sarah Beeny's advice made me think, if my children, one day when they have children, and they said, well, Mum, that's all right for Sarah Beeny, but what's your advice? I thought, what would my advice be? And so after 25 years of mothering, I'm going to share a few little bullet points that I think have worked for me. Would you like to hear them? Interested? And then you can all sit there and go, yeah, no. Oh, no, I don't think that one. Yeah, yeah. So let's share a few bullet points. Okay, here we go. Eat your heart out, Sarah Beeny. First one is this. I would say, let them be their own person. Many mothers try and live their dreams through their children. They always wanted to do this or go to college or, you know, be a pop star or who knows. But actually, we've got to find what they're good at and encourage them. Let them be their own person and encourage what they're good at. Sometimes we spend so much time trying to improve a child in an area they're not very good at, and they probably won't improve very much either. But it's better to focus that attention on the things they're really good at so it builds their confidence. As a mum, spend time on shared projects and spend time together doing the things they like. So there's a lot of things I've done over the years that I didn't really like, but got into after a while. So when Matthew was small, he loved trains. And he would love nothing better than if we got on a train in Swansea, travelled to Neath, bought a packet of crisps and a drink, and travelled back. Now, why would anyone want to do that? Apart from the fact that Neath is such a wonderful place. But, you know, it's doing the things that they enjoy. He was made up. I learned to enjoy tennis. And as he grew up, we, you know, went to different championships in London and went to the Roland Garros. I've been to concerts with the kids. And it's finding the things they enjoy. And they look back and often talk about those things. And Chloe and I went to a concert some years ago up in Birmingham and had to stay overnight. And it was a Beyonce concert. But one of the best things, I mean, Beyonce was awesome, but the hotel room had the most amazing sheets that we now call Beyonce sheets, all white, all fluffy, like sleeping in a cloud. And you know, you build these memories together. So do the things that they enjoy. Next one, don't pamper. Don't give in. Spoiled is no preparation for life. If we spoil our children when they grow up to be adults, they'll find the world isn't like that and no one else will spoil them like you did. It doesn't help them. And also, materialism can make you unhappy. Now, when our kids were very small, we were really poor and they didn't have the same toys as other people. So we had to do things like go for walks, get muddy, go out, do things that didn't cost anything. And they never missed out for not having stuff. And there's such pressure on us as mums to provide the stuff because people try and tell you you're not a good mum if you don't provide all the stuff. That's not true. Materialism can actually lead you to unhappiness because it creates an appetite in children for the next thing, and we all know the next thing never really satisfies because you're just waiting for the next thing. A caution, don't overprotect. This is so tempting, especially even when they're grown up and you're lying in bed late at night waiting for them to come home. It's really tempting at any stage to wrap them up in cotton wool and overprotect them. And I would encourage you not to. So we raise children who are strong and resilient and can face life and don't have to keep running back to us even when they're grown up. Kind discipline helps a child understand their place in the world. And for us as mums, it's so tiring sometimes, isn't it? Especially when they're small. Put it down. No, I said put it down. No, I said put it down, put it down. Then when they're old, it's like, no, I said 11 o'clock. No, I said 11 o'clock. I would like you home at 11 o'clock. You know, it doesn't change. So I would encourage you to discipline kindly while they're small because they don't grow out of it. It will get worse, not better. And so, you know, make sure, especially when they're tiny, that you... You know, don't lose the battle. Don't lose heart. Keep going because it will work out in the end if you can keep going with it. Kind discipline helps a child not to think too high or too lowly of themselves. If a child thinks too lowly of themselves, they lack confidence in life. If they think too highly of themselves and are proud, they'll get cut down. And so helping them with discipline helps them realize when they might have overstepped the mark or need to face a challenge. Pick your battles. Sometimes there are things just really not worth fighting over, or we get stressed over things that don't really matter. And so we decided early on with our kids, because we seem to be quite a clumsy family, you know, there's something sort of gets broken every day, and you're like, oh, well, that's out the way for today. You're almost waiting for, oh, there we are, the button's gone on the dishwasher, there we are, that's that one done for today. Or the plate is smashed, so that's out the way for today. Or there's a big scratch on my car. And we've got to pick our battles, and things like mistakes, you know, smashing something, mistakes, an accident, you know, they're not things to come down heavy on a child, or it makes them really anxious and fearful. But let's pick our battles of the things that are very important, of things that are more like moral issues. Okay, and the next one, now I love this, you prepared for a little bit of Spanish, okay? If anyone can tell me what this says. Yeah, you get the gist of it, okay? It means keep calm and take a siesta, yeah? Now this is the English version. Doesn't sound quite so sexy, does it? Keep calm, carry on sleeping. But in Spanish, it's really got, you know, a bit of edge to it there. And I would say to mums, you know, keep calm, have a siesta. Now, it's not possible for most of us to have a nap, you know, from 2 till 5, like the Spanish. But what I'm talking about really is that, you know, if we want to create calm, we need to stay calm. And that screaming and shouting and yelling just raises the temperature for everybody in the house. And children are very, very sensitive to the atmosphere that we create. And so as we keep calm, we will create calm. And if you need sleep, leave the housework, leave that project, go and get some. Prepare them for relationships. And that's not just chatting about it and talking about it, but be a good role model. And how you treat one another at home is important. Even if you're raising children by yourself, how you treat your mother or your auntie or your sister. If you're married, how you treat your husband. These things teach our children about relationships as they observe us. So it's not like trying to live out something perfect, because we're all in the home together. And so, you know, there are occasionally tensions or arguments, but it's how we handle it, how we speak to each other with respect, how we forgive, how long we hold that attitude for. All those things in our home are actually teaching our children how to handle relationships themselves. And another tip I would say is to always speak well of others. Speak well of your friends. Speak well of your family. Don't sit in your home criticizing other people, and then when they pop over, you're all smiles. Because children, when they see that hypocrisy, they hate it. They absolutely hate it, and they grow up cynical. And so guard what you say within your home, because children hate that lie. And they think, well, you were just saying that, and now Auntie So-and-so has popped in, and you're all, and they think, well, that's, you know, there's not a truth going on there. Share the reality of your faith. With children, it's the biggest gift that you can give them, is to share the reality of your faith, praying together, talking together, when a need arises, giving together, when something, you know, someone is sick, praying together, and living that companionship of faith with them, where you discuss issues, you pray, and get them good quiet time material. So make sure that you're always feeding them with great new Bible versions, with reading notes, that they grow up to learn how to pray and to study for themselves. And lastly, talking about teenagers here, is that discipline changes. when children are small and we can just say, no, you need to be quiet and sit down and put that down, times 20, right? When they're teenagers, it changes. We can't speak to them like they're little children anymore. And we need to be able to talk with them in a different way, giving signposts and boundaries and wisdom and advice, that we walk with them rather than yelling at them. And also, it's important that we're not naive, and we don't expose them to dangers unnecessarily. There are some places that they shouldn't be going that aren't safe for them, and let's not be naive about that and just find out later what has happened. And so that's my few top tips. I don't know if that helps. I'm still on a journey learning how to handle adult children. They go, and I'm really sad. They come back, it gets crowded. Then they go, oh, phew, the house is quiet again. Then I miss them. Then they come back, and it's all, you know, still a journey. So on our 1, 2, 3 of mothers, the next piece of advice I think is important for us is don't go it alone. Don't do this thing alone. Don't mother all by yourself, because sometimes it's a really uphill struggle. And when you feel isolated, everything is harder. But make sure you find friends or family, be part of a church community where there's family support, join Little Rascals here on a Tuesday. But make sure you're not isolated. Don't try and go it alone. There are plenty of mums out there who are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing. And when we sit and chat together, we find we're all in the same boat. The next thing is to keep perspective. Now, mums are under a lot of pressure these days, aren't they? Incredible pressure. And I went on the internet, and there was a number of blogs there where women are blogging about how desperate their lives are and how complicated and how difficult. Love this little cartoon that they're finding the super mum cape in their mum's wardrobe. See, I told you, so that's how she does it. And there's like a pressure on us to be perfect. And one person had done a little bit of creative writing called Martha Has Left the Building. It kind of attracted my attention. I'm going to read it to you now. And I thought, well, who is Martha? Who is this Martha that's left the building? She sounds the most intimidating person on the planet. So I looked up Martha Stewart. And if anyone's heard, she's an American lady. Now, this American lady, God bless Martha Stewart, right? She is a businesswoman, hence leading The Apprentice. She does everything to do with crafts, that everything in your home should be homemade and beautiful. She has a cooking school, that everything should be homemade and organic. She actually talks on living. Look, she makes her own jam in her spare time, and also she's like a life coach on body and soul. Is there nothing this woman cannot do? And so on a number of blogs, I was seeing that there's, you know, a lot of mums out there in America under this Martha Stewart pressure to be like this perfect mother where it's all home-baked. I remember once on one of our trips to America, I was with a group of mums, and they were all going around the table talking about the value, you might have told you this before, of home-baked bread and the evils of supermarket bread. And I was kind of sat and realized I was like last in the ring, and that they were going around the whole ring like sharing their recipes and their home-cooked bread and how long it takes and leaving it to rise overnight and how, you know, the evils of supermarket bread, there's no nutrition in it for their children. And I was thinking, the inevitable is about to take place. This, you know, I am the visiting speaker, and I'm just going to lose all integrity now, because the ring will come round to me, and I have an opportunity here to share my recipe or confess. And so it came round to me, and I was having, you know, a little bit of conflict going on, and then they said, so what about you? And I said, well, I'm afraid it's Sainsbury's bread for me all the way, or Tesco. And I said, yes, it comes in a packet. It's ready sliced. That's so amazing. It helps me spend time with my children. And it went completely quiet. So I'm going to read you this little bit that two mothers wrote this. I've kind of compiled it together. It's called Martha Has Left the Building. The writer says, let's just say I had a moment, a big one. And in that moment, Martha Stewart and all things Supermum have been banned from my home. Now, with some clarity, I finally realized that being the mum with 8 different colours of homemade Play-Doh in my fridge doesn't matter. My kids don't care if I make homemade macaroni cheese with butternut squash puree. They'd really rather eat pizza, and they will still throw it on the floor. I don't need to clean up the pizza with a special hand-sewn organic cotton mop. No one is marking me on how tidy my house is or if I can find those matching socks. Still have a problem with that now. I'm a mother, not a miracle worker. I'll make mistakes and feel rubbish about it. Dwelling is pointless. So I'll learn from it and move right along. As mums, we have our limits and our expectations of ourselves. But I have finally realised that I need to chill. All husbands go, finally! When it's a crazy day and the several balls you're juggling come crashing down at once, let the kids eat cereal for dinner, watch too much TV, or go to bed without washing. I think they will be okay if they don't have veggies with dinner two nights in a row, and no one is going to turn you into the bad mother police for letting the kids eat hot dogs on their laps on the sofa. So I'm going through a withdrawal period and learning how to wean myself off my giant to-do list. I'm going to spend more time just watching and playing with my kids rather than shuttling them around everywhere. I want to focus on what's truly important. On this Mother's Day, give yourself an invaluable Mother's Day gift, a healthy dose of perspective. I like that. That's good. So Martha leaves the building. Let's not put ourselves under, relentless pressure to be perfect, because none of us are perfect and we all need a helping hand. And this brings me on to my fourth factor, which for me is like the X factor, the one thing that makes all the difference, and that is the Jesus factor. Now, since having Jesus in my life, he has made such a difference when I'm at the end of myself, because my patience only runs so far. My loving only runs so far before I stumble into unforgiveness. My tolerance levels reach a point where then I'm quite frustrated. And my ability to cope with all the overwhelming plates and that are spinning is limited. And I can only do these things with the help of Jesus in my life, and especially in raising three children from babies to adulthood. With Jesus' help, he has made all the difference to me. Because we all know as mums that we have an expectation that we'd love to be like this, but actually we're like this, although we think we're like this. We think we're as bad as this, but actually we're pretty all right. And it's funny, driving here this morning, I was saying, Chloe, my youngest daughter, couldn't be here today, and it's the first Mother's Day she's missed. And I'm trying to be really grown up and mature about it, and really I would like her here. And she texts me and said, I can get the train if you like, but for various reasons I really need to stay. What do you think? And I was like going to text, but I want you home. Please come home, baby. And I was starting to text and it didn't. And then I started to text back and waited. And then I text, do what you think best, sweetheart. Maybe it's best you don't come. And as I sent it, I didn't really want to. And she texted me this morning on the way up here. And I was reading out in the car. Rachel said, what did she say? What did she say? And it says, dear mum, you are literally the best mum in the world. And I was laughing, saying how every child thinks their mum is the best mum in the world, because you are the only mum they've got. And so even if we beat ourselves up and think we're not very good, our kids only have us. And every child thinks you are the best mum in the world. And then Rachel from the back seat said, she's just coming up to 25, and she said, well, the other day I was in the shops and I heard a child say to their mother, mum, you are the best mum in the world. And she said, I felt something react inside me and think, no, my mum is. And every child thinks you're the best mum in the world because they only have you. And Jesus will help us in that. And why? Two reasons. He loves children. Jesus absolutely loves children. Now, Mark records in his gospel, it says, then Jesus had a child stand near him, and he put his arm around the child and said to all the crowd there, when you welcome even a child because of me, you welcome me. That when we welcome a child, and it's lovely to have lots of visitors from our projects and everything here today, and a lot of children from Gap Food and Gap Football just hanging out with us, and they're out in Sunday school now. And as we welcome them, Jesus says that's like welcoming him, because every child is important. And our welcome to them is like welcoming Jesus himself, because he loves children and they're important. Every child out there in Sunday school and little babies in here, every child is precious to Jesus. And in Matthew records that well-known story. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. They could see how tired Jesus was. And they said to the parents, take the children away. It's not time. It's not time for children in here. They're too messy. They're too noisy. But Jesus said, let the children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these little children. And Jesus loves children. He didn't want to stop them being brought, but they came. And I would imagine they're just children, so they didn't queue up nicely. They ran round him, they jumped on him, he blessed them, he prayed for them, because Jesus loves children. And so why should we care for our children? Because Jesus puts tremendous value on these little people, that it's our role as mums to help them grow up to face this world. And the other reason why Jesus loves children is because he loves people. He loves people. And when he came to this earth, he spent his time with people like you and me, just ordinary people, all different kinds of people. Some were poor, some were wealthy, some were sick, some were healthy, some had important jobs, some had no jobs. And he spent his time with ordinary people like you and me, because he loves us so much. In fact, God loves us so much, he sent Jesus to the world that we can see what God is like. Because God seems far away to us. We don't know what he's like. But when Jesus came, we read the stories and see what he was like. We know of his love for people. But not just his love, but his power. He has power to forgive us. Because this is the sticking point, isn't it? You know, when your kids were born, you never taught them to be naughty, did you? They learned it all by themselves. Because every one of us, you know, has trouble in just, you know, we want to be a good person, but we struggle with the things that we do wrong and say wrong, and our attitudes, and our children are the same. But Jesus came to forgive us all the things we've done wrong, not just today, but all time. Everything we ever did wrong. And when we come to Jesus and say, do you know, I'm finding this life quite hard by myself. Will you come and help me? Will you come in my life? What Jesus does, the first thing he does is forgive us for everything we ever did wrong and every mistake, wiped clean. Every mistake I ever made, every regret I ever have, Jesus has wiped it completely clean, and he wants to do that for every single person. And then when he wipes us clean, we feel so peaceful. How can we bring peace to our children when we don't feel peaceful? How can we help them control their behavior when we can't control ours? Well, Jesus comes inside us and helps us with his power and his comfort. And Jesus said, I send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who lives inside us every day. So when we come to the limit of our patience, there's his patience. When we come to an end of our love, there's his love. And he helps us every day in that nitty-gritty way of raising our children. And for us as mums, helping our children find faith in God is the best thing we can ever do, because we can't be with them all the time, but Jesus can. He can be with us all the time, and he can be with them all the time. He can speak to their conscience when they're on the verge of doing something that might be destructive in their life. He will give them peace when they're frightened. He will give them courage when they face challenge. And raising our children to discover about God and Jesus and who he is and what he has for them is the best thing we can ever do for our children. And in one of the books in the Bible, there's a guy called Paul who writes this, and he had a young friend called Timothy, and he loved Timothy. He was a real great friend to him. And he wrote him this letter, and he said, I remember, Timothy, your true faith, that faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now I see in you that same faith. And this is why I remind you, keep using the gift that God gave you and let it grow as a small flame grows into a fire. And Paul was saying, look at the value of your grandmother helping your grandmother Lois, helping your mother Eunice to learn all about God and who he is. And then Eunice and your grandmother and your mother helped you. And here you are as a helper to me, as a fine young man with a true faith that your mother and your grandmother raised you in. And that is the greatest gift that we can pass on to our children, and that we can fan those flames into fire, that as they grow up, they have a helper with them every single day. So mums, be encouraged today. Your role is vitally important, but you're not alone in it. We all have each other. Let's not be isolated. Listen to wise advice. Don't just struggle by yourself. Keep perspective when is those days when it all seems overwhelming, but also begin, start, or carry on your journey with Jesus, because without him we are limited. But with Jesus in our life, he helps us to raise our kids as we would like to. And I'm going to pray now, but after I pray, Beth is going to come and sing us a song. Now, you know, Florence and the Machine sang that beautiful song, You've Got the Love to See Me Through. And I think this is on two levels. Firstly, we've got the love that sees our children through. They need our love. They need to know they're loved and they're wanted. But also Jesus has the love to see us through in that difficult task. So if the band like to come up, we're just going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of mothers. We thank you, Lord, for all our children and all the children here today. We pray, Lord, that you will give us strength and vitality. Pray you help us when we are tired and at the end of ourselves. We pray, Lord, that you will bring us your peace and your forgiveness into our life. Pray, Lord, for your strength and wisdom to face this task every day. Thank you, Lord, that you love children so much and that you will give us the strength and the ability to raise them to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.